your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond. Welcome back to this week's episode of Alchemy. Very excited to welcome two awesome guests on the show today. We've got Dustin Moore and Lauren Carpenter, co-founders of Embark. Guys, it's great to have you on the show together.
Thanks for having us, Jeff.
Absolutely. So for everybody tuning in right now, just quick background. Both Lauren and Dustin come from very, very interesting and diverse backgrounds. You know, Lauren essentially worked on campaigns. She worked for the government. She was a political director. She was over at MedMen, worked on government affairs. She was the chief strategy officer at Sweetflower. And then with Dustin, co-founded Embark in 2020. And then Dustin, also very interesting background, worked for the California State Assembly. Very interesting stuff there. He was on the board for the International Cannabis Farmers Association. Also manages strategic consulting and government affairs called Axiom Partners. Again, co-founder of Embark in 2020. So guys, Dustin and Lauren, why don't you first tell us the story about how you guys launched Embark and maybe a few anecdotes on yourselves as well beyond work.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for having us. We picked a great time to launch Embark because we launched in March of 2020. So it's hard to even think back to March of 2020, but you may remember some pretty intense headlines at the time. It's been a roller coaster. We actually went out for our Series A as we were all getting locked down. So we really cut our teeth in pitching and meeting folks all via Zoom before that became our second nature.
Lauren, that's really interesting just because, you know, we did our Series A right at the beginning of COVID too. And that was something that was so different for us because we had, you know, we're so used to meeting face to face and getting to know people, and everything was done through video conference, which was just bizarre.
Yeah.
Were you guys scared? Like, okay, we just started a company during COVID and we don't know what's going to happen. And now we're just meeting people through Zoom.
The impersonality of Zoom was, you know, challenging. And this was early days of COVID. So the world had not transitioned to existing in front of screens. And layering on top of that, you know, Lauren buried the lead. You know, we are a husband and wife team. And, you know, so this is everything together, you know, around the clock. So I think for both of us, you know, we had the professional struggles as far as, you know, launching and starting a raise of financing right in the middle of COVID or the beginning of COVID. And at the same time, you know, processing that as you know, partners in life. So it was certainly an eye-opening period, but, you know, what a proving ground for us to be able to launch a business in arguably one of the most difficult business climates and capital markets
ever.
Yeah. So and you know, and it was like that moment, you know, we opened our first store in June of 2020 and cannabis went from, you know, effectively being illegal to essential overnight, that we knew we had come into our own. But, you know, from March through July, you know, there were some dark days for sure.
So guys, what was it, at least together, where you were like, you know what, let's launch our own cannabis retailer? Like what was it that made you guys do that?
So I ran the Prop 64 campaign. I was the day-to-day campaign manager. And through the process of passing the initiative, we realized very quickly that specifically in California, while it's technically an unlimited market because there's so much local control and local governments, the 550 plus of them can choose whether or not to issue retail permits, that there were going to be, there's going to be a lot of work to be done to open these jurisdictions. So after I finished running the campaign, as you mentioned, you know, started a strategic consulting business, which is Axiom Advisors. And we represented a number of the larger operators in the space that were trying to get licensing. And what we realized very quickly was that these were political campaigns in each of these jurisdictions and something that we had, you know, an affinity for. And after having, you know, done this work for a time for a number of these clients, realized that this was an opportunity for us. Prior to my work in politics, I had an entrepreneurial background. I had several financial services companies that I exited with and just realized that given Lauren's skill set and our third co-founder, that coming together and you know, approaching these merit-based processes and standing up, you know, retail businesses was something that was really something we were really passionate about. And that was really the nexus for us.
And I think for me, you know, I had worked in two cannabis companies, one that at the time was one of the largest in the world. And the other where I think I was employee number two, right? So it was this very contrasting experiences, which is so fantastic, right? You get so many lessons learned in both of those environments. But I think for me, you know, my background is both in politics and really in community affairs. And so coming into California cannabis post-legalization, a huge component of my day-to-day role in both of those companies was working with governments and working with communities to get them comfortable with cannabis. You know, it's crazy, all of us in the industry, because this is what we think about and talk about all day long. It's, you know, it's commonplace at this point. But I think, especially in 2018, 2019, as some of the first communities were really existing as tip of the spear in these new adult use competitive licensing processes, the role I played was rolling up my sleeves and really working with those communities every day to get them comfortable with the idea of local licensure. And so I think a huge part of this for me is my control freak nature, which is after, you know, a couple years of working with communities and working with community groups and really making those promises, I realized I ultimately needed to be in the, you know, decision-making seat around ensuring that we could deliver on those promises. And so, you know, what that says about me and my need to control everything aside, I think that's really a huge component of why Embark was born. And obviously 2020, the beginning of 2020 is a interesting time for that to take shape. I don't think any of us knew what was coming, you know, in March, but you know, I think it, what I realized at the end of the day is we could do so, we could make such an impact in communities. And ultimately by doing that in this larger effort, we are all undertaking to destigmatize cannabis, right? To finally, as a society, move on from this issue and really embrace the power of what this plant can be. And I just realized I could make so much more impact there if we, I mean, if we kind of created it ourselves.
Totally. I mean, I think, you know, you bring up a really good point. I think COVID really accelerated that at such a rapid pace. And I kind of go back 2 years ago and remember some of the guests that we had on the show. And it's just like, whoa, cannabis is deemed essential. Holy shit. Right. Like for us in the space, we're just like, that's amazing. You can't get a haircut, but you can go buy weed. That's pretty cool. And then I think with COVID, everyone started to really turn to health, right? So then even CBD was like flying off the shelves because people are trying to take care of their bodies, right? And so I think while some people are like, oh, COVID was really tough, it also at the same time really helped propel what we're all trying to do in the market much quicker than if COVID wasn't actually happening. And so, you know, you guys are in California and obviously California is a very heavily, I'd say, saturated market for cannabis, and you guys are doing something different. So talk to us a little bit about your, I'd say maybe the shopping experience. Like what are you guys bringing to the consumer that you're kind of surprising and delighting them with, you know, different curations?
Yeah, and that's a great point you made about how COVID essentially flipped the business model on its head. We went from an in-store experience to really having to shift our business to a curbside pickup model in early days. Prior to the designation of being an essential business, there was a point in time where we had to shift the majority of our operations to curbside. Thankfully, you know, our regulators understood the importance of that. And I believe we were one of the first states to allow for curbside pickup. But adapting a model in real time in the middle of a pandemic, having just opened in June, was certainly a lot to take in. Because our model is very unique in that we have a bodega shopping model in the majority of our stores, meaning products are out on shelves and folks can pick them up and you know, really get familiarized with the packaging, the ingredients, and take some time. So unlike many dispensary experiences where it's more a bar style or a pharmacy style, you wait in line, you get to the counter, and there's a certain amount of pressure to know what you want to pick. And you may be a little more reticent to stop and ask questions and really have a consultative experience. So for us, the bodega model has allowed us to really have one-on-one interactions with our customers in a way that's meaningful and helps educate them on the products that we carry.
Yeah. I mean, that's so important, right? Because you have so many, you know, customers who were just recently started to kind of experiment. I think for a while we were calling them like kind of curious, right? I think it's still, but, you know, people want to ask questions. And I feel like, you know, even putting myself, I was just recently out in Colorado skiing last week in Vail. You know, I live in New York where it's finally legal, but you still, you know, just from a rec perspective, you know, the stores aren't there yet. So, you know, whenever I travel, I get very excited about going to dispensaries. And I feel like I'm very, very educated when it comes to cannabis, but I still want to ask questions, right? And so I feel like there's just so many people that want to get educated and they want that, you know, they want that time with a bud tender or someone in the store so that they can, you know, make the proper decision. You know, I recently saw something came across my desk the other day on you guys where you were talking about the future of cannabis concessions. What does that mean?
So we ventured into a live events concession model, which we see as an extension of the four walls of our retail environment. So California is unique in that it was the first in the nation to allow for live events, sales, and consumptions. And I've been working on cannabis events for about a half a decade with one of the most notable cannabis competitions in the world, the Emerald Cup. So I helped bring them from you know, kind of pre-regulatory environment, which was, you know, kind of a free-for-all consumption event, into the regulated market. And that was a really tough transition. Because you know, so much of what happened at those events was organic in nature, and it was really, you know, it was a collective mindset where folks were bringing products and sharing, and you know, experiencing cannabis as we all like to do together. But regulations came into play, and in 2018 had to really convert into a regulated environment where these events could no longer be sampling and sharing, and really had to focus on regulated sales, and that was something that was challenging. So helped them realize their vision of operating in the regulated market. But through that experience, you know, Lauren and I came to the conclusion that at some point in time, there would be an Aramark of cannabis. And that's who we want to be and what we're aspiring to be. And we've already executed on that model this year at Outside Lands. I think it's the second largest music festival in North America. There were over 200,000 attendees, and you know, we were able to sell hundreds of thousands of dollars of cannabis, you know, to those attendees in a live event format. And that's something that I think you're going to see coming out of Embark on a more regular basis as we continue to develop partnerships with promoters throughout California and throughout the nation, because there are some other states now that are starting to license consumption events. But for us, we really see this as a marketing activity in the short run, because it's so challenging to advertise, as you're well aware. To be able to have a one-on-one experience with an audience of over 200,000 is something that's quite unique. And our brand partners are really searching for that type of an interaction. So for us, again, doubling down on our in-store experience and taking that to music festivals, live sports events, other community gatherings, something that we're hyper-focused on.
And I think that, you know, it was interesting, speaking of doing things that are hard in the middle of a pandemic, Outside Lands was great. I mean, to Dustin's point, it's such a massive captive audience. And, you know, because of our backgrounds in government, I think sometimes our heads are, you know, and now as operators, our heads are down so often, right? We're facing challenges head on and tackling them. And so every once in a while, I like to look up and sort of say, oh, wait, why are we doing this again, right? Like, what's the light at the end of the tunnel? And I think Outside Lands was such a great example of that. You know, it's a reminder that in its most basic way, that cannabis enhances experiences, right? It sparks joy. It can help make things more fun. And it's nothing like a music festival after we've all been trapped for 2 years, right, to remind us of, you know, I think probably the thing we all love about cannabis the most, which is the community, right? And so it was really exciting to be able to be part of one of those, you know, these first events at scale, really coming back together as friends and within a community, and being able to bring cannabis into that experience in a way that I think, you know, continues to open people's eyes, right? So we see hundreds of people a day in a store, and that's great. But I think going back to our earlier conversation about destigmatization, you know, hundreds of people a day or 200,000 people in a weekend, like, we can really enhance experiences for folks that love cannabis already, but I think also in many ways change hearts and minds of people who have been reticent to see cannabis in their communities, right? When the sky doesn't fall. And that's really, I think, one of the biggest challenges operators face as we, you know, as we push to get more retail in communities that haven't allowed it up to this point, because that is so critical for the success of our supply chain in California. But a huge component of that is really just getting people comfortable. And, you know, Outside Lands provided us, I think, a great opportunity to do that.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. And I think, you know, obviously the focus on events is awesome. You know, as we're kind of still battling with like these new variants, you know, has that kind of put a wrinkle in things at all? Or are you just kind of like, we got to push on?
You know, it certainly did cause a wrinkle for some of our earlier events. It was irresponsible for us. We had a couple of things that were planned that we decided not to announce just in the interest of public health.
Right now.
That being said, you know, our first big show this year will be in August, and we'll be announcing that shortly. And we have a few others planned throughout the year. So our hope is that, you know, we will hit our peak of Omicron and hopefully we move into an endemic status. But certainly it's something that we discuss on a regular basis. The important thing I think to note is that there's still a lot of relationship building required in this arena of the cannabis industry as it relates to developing relationships with venues and helping them understand what a cannabis event is and what it isn't, and with promoters and with other jurisdictions, because this is even, I think, more nuanced than a retail discussion, and it's certainly something that's more nascent. So we feel like we're definitely on the tip of the spear when it comes to live event concessions, and Embark will become the earmark of cannabis. However, you know, our core business is as a retail dispensary. And again, events are really an extension of those four walls and an extension of an engagement opportunity for the brands that are our partners in this space.
And I would say, you know, do you even work in the cannabis industry if you aren't, you know, ducking and pivoting?
Right, exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. You know, one thing that I did want to, you know, bring up before we, you know, break on the show is, which I love seeing, but you guys are doing a ton of stuff around diversity and inclusion. I know that you guys literally dedicate, you know, 50% of the shelf space, you know, for that reason, especially in the industry. And you also, I think I read something about 1% of all sales, you know, are donated back to the community. So maybe talk to us a little bit about, you know, your focus on, you know, these incredible purpose-led initiatives.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there's always so much work to be done in both of those spaces. And so I think it's important that, you know, we continue to sort of learn and grow and innovate in real time there, because, you know, as I just said, this is nothing if not continuing to adapt. But, you know, really, as I mentioned, a huge part of founding Embark was the realization that cannabis could fundamentally be a net benefit to communities. I mean, in fact, in so many ways, we know it has been for a really long time. But it's at this point, I think, getting communities to realize the role that it's often playing, the positive role that it's often playing. And so, you know, Embark in Tahoe, as an example, geez, that's been a multi-year process. And, you know, we had nonprofit groups at the table probably 4 years ago now, as that application was being put together. And really, that was the beginning of this very community-oriented model that's been created. So as you mentioned, you know, 1% of all sales go back to each community where we operate in perpetuity. I think that's so important so that local residents understand that, you know, the dollars that they're spending in an Embark goes to the community causes that they care about, you know, down the street or at their child's school, or what have you. And I think that's really a very tangible way where people can start to see that, you know, the sky doesn't fall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the other piece of it is, you know, really, I think that's a way that consumers can sort of vote with their dollar or, you know, allocate their dollar to companies that align with their value set. And I think it was important and is important for us to continue to ensure that our shelf space reflects those values and provides an opportunity for consumers to, again, you know, have choice in where they spend their dollar to align with their values. And I think, you know, whether it's female owned, minority-owned, veteran-owned, LGBTQIA plus owned. I think it's providing an opportunity for these brands, including a lot from the smaller farmers that really don't have easy access or an easy pipeline to consumers. If we aren't shining that spotlight on them, I think that's so critical, not just to the kind of the ongoing success of those brands, but I think really for the long-term viability of retailers like Embark, because of the promises we make to community.
Awesome. I love it. And I think too, you know, I was kind of looking through your products that you guys carry in, you know, multiple locations, and you know, it's cool because it's different from everyone else. You have these hybrid kind of, you know, products from all over the place. Kind of, it's almost like you have a very curated list, right? The best of the best. So it was fun kind of looking to see what you guys carry. But, you know, tons of really great insight on the show today from you both. And, you know, before we leave, I just, I'm curious, like you guys being married, how is the work environment with your employees and anything fun to talk about? Because, you know, I told you guys earlier, like my two co-founders from Buddy Media were married. And so I know how it goes and it's a lot of fun, but also, you know, very different personalities. So how do you guys work well together?
You know, I think, and I'll go first because, you know, I think that makes it's easier to go first. I'll let Lauren close out. But I mean, we really are.
It's the love connection now, Dustin.
Yeah, no. And it's like, we are truly like our skills complement each other and there's not a whole lot of overlap. So we actually effectively function, you know, at our highest and best collective use together. And that was something that I joke with my in-laws. My mother-in-law said, hey, you guys should work together. You're meant to work together. While my father-in-law was, you know, kind of pulled me aside. It's like, I don't know, you know? So we joke that mom was right. And it's been, I honestly can't imagine going through this, what we've done in the last couple of years, without Lauren, because we balance each other so nicely. And it, in fact, is, I think it's helped balance our personal lives in many ways too. So I don't know if it's, you know, just luck of the draw, but this has been an incredible experience.
Awesome. How about you, Lauren?
That was so cheesy. I don't know how to follow that up. Yeah, bonus points for Dustin. No, I think, you know, in so many ways, I agree with Dustin. I think it's, as any founder of a company knows, this is a wild ride, right? There's the business ebbs and flows and curveballs in such a regulated industry. There are all of the regulatory hurdles and headaches. And in such a competitive industry, right? There's the sort of competitive and emotional components of this where, you know, sometimes you're just tired. And so I'm, you know, in hindsight, and then you add that to 2 years of pandemic and everything else. So I think I'm lucky that I'm doing this with someone by my side that's sort of helping me weather the storm. And I think it helps in some ways. I guess you'd have to ask our team members how they feel about it. I hope this isn't rose-colored glasses, but I think it helps in so many ways because, you know, we've all had to pivot and, you know, you can't go on LinkedIn or Instagram without seeing the something about work-life balance and, you know, acknowledging the toll that this has all taken on our mental health. And I think we don't do that enough. We don't acknowledge how strange this has been and the fact that we've all just had to acclimate and adapt and, you know, all of our team members who are parents and, you know, when they just get calls that school's closed for the next 3 days, figure it out, right? So mm-hmm. I think for us, you know, having to do this during such a strange time, it's great that I'm doing this with my family because I think it helps us be a bit more kind of reflective and open and adaptive with the rest of the team, you know, who are also just trying to figure this out.
I love it. I mean, you guys could have like a mini series of a show together, right? not just being married, but like being married and running a cannabis operation, right? Kind of fun.
Kind of fun.
Taglines that could come from this.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Kind of fun.
Awesome. Well, Dustin and Lauren, listen, it was great having you both on the show and, you know, congrats on everything that you guys have done, especially the last, you know, 3 years and, you know, rounding out a really incredible company. So I appreciate you guys both coming on together.
Thanks. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you guys.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.